invite you to stand as we begin our worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our life, and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life into which you took the light.
Blessed be God, now and forever.
Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people, Israel, from slavery into freedom.
Blessed be God, now and forever.
At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all.
Blessed be God, now and forever.
We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love.
Amen.
Thank you.
and prophets, and you instituted the office of the ministry of word and sacrament, so that the apostolic and prophetic work might continue throughout the ages. Grant that Gordon, now to be ordained, may carry out this ministry faithfully in the power of your Spirit, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deep deceitful scheming. But seeking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, in whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every limb with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love.
And then hear anybody more than about 3 feet away. It was a great interview. So what happened is we did it again. Anyhow, we went back to Minneapolis, and we decided we really wanted to call this guy to be on our staff. So he sat on it for a while. I called him a couple times. Finally, I think about the third time I called, Gordon, it's time for you to give us your answer. And he said, well, yes, I will. Anyhow, it came and began a 10-year relationship, which was just marvelous. And so, Gordy came to stay from Golden. He had an office down the hall from me, and we spent some time together. As I recall, he got in front of the congregation, and he was vibrant, and he was outgoing, and I thought, this is really good. After the service, I went into his office. I was all pumped up, and he's sitting there staring at the wall. I said, what's going on? He said, I'm an introvert. I'm an extrovert. Extroverts are energized by people around you, and introverts go inside themselves. And so he said, I'm just kind of recharging my batteries. But you never know that when you watch him as he was leaving the service. It's a marvelous thing. Then about 4 o'clock, we went to a conference meeting. And after that conference meeting, at 4 o'clock every day, there was a phone call. And I would grab the phone and say, Ruben, that's Bruce speaking. Hello, is Gordy there? And you know who that was. So this got to be a fairly regular event. And so I was part of that. That was good. Well, it's been a few years ago, you can probably guess, when my day of ordination. Can you imagine that was 52 years ago already? And A.E. Hansen, we didn't have bishops in those days, they were district presidents. And so we sat in the office and we were preparing the service. I thought I knew all about ordination. And he said, have you looked at the ordination vow? And I looked at him and I said, no. To which he said, the motto is pretty good. I never forgot that lesson. And so as we think about the vow you're going to take today, Gordy, the first thing he's going to ask you is something about Scripture. To uphold the Word of God. And it's not just the words in the book, but it's the Word of God, it's God's very self who comes to us through that book and be able to apply that to life. This is your sermon this morning. I think you're well on your way. It was a good job. And so as the Scripture comes alive and you minister that Word of life to people so it comes alive for them, that's a part of that call. The second part of that is to be faithful to the creeds. And of course the Apostles' Creed has been around since, I think it's around 700 in its final form. And we use that mostly in worship because it's the shortest one, for one thing. The Nicene Creed we use sometimes. And I think about the difference between these two. The Nicene Creed is full of nouns. The Apostles' Creed is full of verbs and some of the more action in it. And I think that's why I like to gravitate more towards the Apostles' Creed. And I've got well memorized, of course. The Athanasian Creed, which is about 8.5 long, we tried that once a year and gave up. A little bit long. But anyway, to confess the creeds of the church is the faith of the church which holds us together, the faith of the church in which we express, I believe in God who has created me, in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me, and in the Holy Spirit who kind of builds the church and gives me life. The great things which happen. And so be faithful to those creeds. We'll go back to that this time, going back to the well, with a big pump over and over again. And then you'll be asked, will you nourish God's people and feed them? And that's, of course, in the text today, where feed my lambs comes, and Jesus asks you to love me. So, as we think about the last one, is, of course, the distributed communion. I thought about that communion. Someone may have a bit more about that later. But that's become, as the years go by, more and more important in my life. And I'm sure it's well in yours. And so the images that come from our text today in John, there are two images. One is called fishing, about fishing. From now on, you will be catching people, as in Luke chapter 5. That's what Jesus said to Peter. From now on, you'll be catching people. And so, catching people is a real trick. I remember college, Paul Giancioli was part of the old sinful district. He talked about going out fishing. And he went out in his boat, put out the anchor, and sat there. He said, you know what happened? We just sat there, and the fish just kind of came, jumped in the boat. The boat was full of fish, and we went back to shore. I said, you leave that? I said, not in your life. But he says, that's the way people sometimes think the church is going to be. You go to church, and they're going to just jump in the boat. And it doesn't work that way. You have to go fishing, so to speak. And fishing, you got to know what kind of baits you use. You got to know where they are. If you're going to get some kind of fish line, you're becoming more and more aware where people are who are yearning for the gospel, for the love of Jesus Christ, and accepted by God. And so that reaching out and touching people who are unchurched and disconnected is a real gift. So I remember, Gordy, when you came, we went to a teaching conference in Phoenix, Arizona. We came back, and on the way out, I remember you sitting in the back seat, and you said, you know what? I really didn't want to go, but I'm sure glad I did. And we thought something about reaching out and touching the unchurched, touching those who were kind of far from God. And that was a great experience. So we were together about 10 years in Golden. We were in associate ministry. I was the pastor. And we operated as a team. We did ministry together. It wasn't one helping, you know. And so as we spent those 10 years together, according to you came, we were worshiping about 240 people a week as an average a year. When we began to catch on that a lot of what we were going to do was for people who were not here yet, because Jefferson County had doubled in my time there, from about 235,000 to 535,000, and churches were all about the same size. So we said, there's something wrong with this picture because we're not alive and reaching out and touching people the way we should be. And so we got to focus the congregation not on looking at themselves or looking for survival, but looking out to those on the byways and highways and inviting them in. During that time, we began to grow, believe it or not, about 15% a year in our worship centers. And Gordy, by the time we finished our tenure there, we were over 515 in worship each week. Could not have happened without your being there. I thank you for that. And so that fishing image is very strong. And so the second, as I think about that, is the shepherd image. Well, I have one more thing I want to say about the fishing. You can't haul it in by yourself. You know, Peter went out and he said he got help, pulled all the fish in. So you need help in your congregation. So you have two congregations. I don't know what the fishing possibilities are in Leonardville, but I'm sure that God has placed some people there for whom there could be a reach out and to sensitize the congregation. We're not here for survival, but we're here to reach out and touch the lives of people with the love of God. And so you have help in doing that as well. And so that call is a good call, but it's not just yours, Gordy, it's theirs as well. And if you hear those words, if you're from this congregation, listen to those words about the scriptures, about the creeds, about nurturing one another, and about sharing this wonderful meal together. And so communion, that's the text that we had this morning. As a matter of fact, we've been on bread, and the bread of life, for 5 weeks now. If you spend all your time talking about bread, your first sermon, you got 4 weeks to either get corrected or figure out what the Lord said. But each of those texts say something a little different about our relationships. And so communion. Today, Gordy, it becomes official. Says you can do that. And that's a wonderful thing. Bread of life to hungry people. As you may remember, that abiding hope. I was taught this when I came there 3 years ago, that when you are presenting, after you bless the elements, say the Lord's Prayer, and you say, communion is a wonderful gift from God, for Jesus gives himself to us. And as he gives himself to us, he doesn't give it to just somebody, but to everyone. And so regardless of your age, whether you're old or very young, you are invited to come. You are wanted to come. You are welcome to come. If you're feeling far away from God or close to God, you are welcome to come because the table is set for you. And then as we continue kind of announcing communion, we say this is a wonderful gift, and we said the gifts of God are, and the people said, free, every one of them. And so we do that now. I mean, did they do that together? Don't remember that. Pastor Doug told me, he said, if you don't say that, they'll sit there until you do. So I say, Holy Communion, and you know, I just think about the wonderful gift that is, and how that binds us together, reminding us of the grace of God, for Jesus gives himself to us, and he gives himself to us in simple things like bread and wine, to the Word, and to the community itself. That's a marvelous gift. The bread of life. While you were there, Gordy, I read a book, I think it was by Dorothy Parkhander, and it's called Bread Ought to Be Chewed. And I remember you saying to the kids, you know, when you take communion, sometimes you take a breaker and you stick it in the top of your mouth. Remember that little illustration you gave? And so sometimes people say, well, like, you shouldn't bite the bread because you're biting Jesus. You should let it melt your mouth and just swallow it. But this bread ought to be chewed, I think, is a better image. When you go out to eat and you take a chunk of meat or whatever and put it in your mouth, you can swallow it right away, right? And swallow it, you chew it a while. You've got to chew it up so it's swallowable. That's pretty much about the Word of God. You chew on it a while, and you take it in. There's something about that chewing which makes the human presence of Jesus so real for us. In Holy Communion, bread ought to be chewed. The bread of life ought to be chewed. Chew it over, take it in, and let it fill you, because we are, in a sense, what we eat. So bread ought to be chewed. Well, I suppose we should get to the text for a minute. And that is where, as they're standing there and had this great marvelous catch of fish, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Now you need to know the Greek if you don't. There's a difference in that word love. He used the word agape. You agape love me. And agape love is that kind of a self-emptying kind of love. It's a giving oneself to another. And Peter didn't use that word when he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He used the word phileo, which is a friendship word. I'm your friend. Jesus then asked the second time, Peter, you agape, love me. Peter responds the second time, Lord, you know that I'm your friend, I love you. Finally, the third time, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you phileo, love me? And then he says, he was Greek because he asked the third time, yes, Lord, I told you that. You know that I love you. But I think about that whole matter of how Jesus calls us to love as he has loved us. That's one of the tasks you'll have for you as a pastor. And you've already done that. I've seen you do it as an associate ministry. And I'm sure the 4 years you spent with Walter and Leonard Bill Camp here and elsewhere has been like that, where you love people, reach out, affirm, and support them. It's a wonderful gift. You love me? That's the way you love Jesus, by loving one another. By loving your congregation, by loving people who are unlovely, by loving the people who are way out there and loving them as well. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. May that be your gift. So that's one of the most important things that will happen in your ministry is loving people. Not the right ideas, not the right programs, etc. But just simply loving people. That's what a pastor is called to do. May God bless you in that. And so, What a wonderful privilege it is for us to be part of it. I'm convinced that there is joy in heaven over today about your taking this vow and God's commitment to you and your commitment to God and others as well. God bless you. We love you, Gordy, and we're delighted to be a part of it. Amen.
Yeah. staff for ordination to the ministry of word and sacrament, Warden Luther Stanford, who has been prepared, examined, and approved for this ministry, and who has been called by the church to this ministry through Oldford Lutheran Church and Walford Lutheran Church Parish.
Thanks be to God.
All right, you may be seated. All baptized Christians are called to share in Christ's ministry of love and service in the world. To the glory of God and for the sake of the human family and the whole creation. According to apostolic usage, Gordon, you are now to be entrusted with the office of word and sacrament in the one holy Catholic Church by the laying on of hands and by prayer. Reading from John, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And a reading from Matthew, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." And a reading from 1 Corinthians. "I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And Gordon, now before Almighty God, to whom you must give account, and in the presence of this gathered assembly, I ask you, will you assume this office, believing that the Church's call is God's call to the ministry of word and sacrament?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
The Church in which you are to be ordained confesses that the Holy Scriptures are the word of God and are the norm of its faith and life. We accept, teach, and confess the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds. We also acknowledge the Lutheran confessions as true witnesses and faithful expositions of these Holy Scriptures. Will you therefore preach and teach in accordance with the Holy Scriptures and these creeds and confessions?
I will.
And will you be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and faithful in your use of the means of grace? Will you pray for God's people, nourish them with word and sacraments, and lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you give faithful witness in the world that God's love may be known in all that you do? And Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them.
Amen.
Reflect your promise to the world through our lives. God of mercy.
Hear our prayer.
called to be a pastor in the church. May your Holy Spirit, Mother God, sustain him so that he can boldly trust you to lead him along while he serves your people. God of mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for all leaders in your church who have answered the call to serve your church. Help them support one another as they care, nurture, and empower your people. God of mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for peace in your church. Reconcile divisions so that your church can serve the world and bear witness to the good news of your love and promise that is beyond measure. God of mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world and their leaders. Help them to use the privilege and power of their offices to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. God of mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the whole creation. Help us to be a people who honor and respect all that you have made. Help us to be caretakers instead of consumers, so that the beautiful balance of your creation can thrive. God of mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Loving God, we pray for those who are on the margins of your world, for the poor and the persecuted, the sick, the lonely, the forgotten. We pray for all who suffer. We pray for refugees and prisoners and all who are in danger. Heal them and protect their precious lives. And help us to see what it is that you want us to do to help. God of mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We lift these prayers to you, loving God. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Amen.
By your mighty power, he gives us new life. We praise you that having ascended into heaven, Christ pours out his gifts abundantly on the church, making some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers to equip your people for their work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Gordon and fill him with the gifts of grace for the ministry of word and sacrament. Bless his proclamation of your word and administration of your sacraments, so that your church may be gathered for praise and strengthened for service. Make him a faithful pastor, patient teacher, and wise counselor. Grant that in all things he may serve without reproach, that your people may be renewed and your name be glorified in the church. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Receive this blessing, that the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus,
the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, may be complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen.
And will you, assembled as the people of God and speaking for the whole church, receive Gordon as a messenger of Jesus Christ, sent by God to serve all people with the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard him as a servant of Christ?
We will, and we ask God to help us.
Will you pray for him, help and honor him for his work's sake, and in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ?
We will, and we ask God to help us.
Then let it be acclaimed that Gordon is called, is a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ. He has Christ's authority to preach the word of God and administer the sacraments, serving God's people as together we bear God's creative and redeeming love to all the world.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Christ our Lord,
who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Power.
We thank you, Almighty and gracious God, that you have fed us with heavenly food, the body and blood of your Son, uniting us through him in the communion of the Holy Spirit. As you have again raised up among us a faithful servant for the ministry of word and sacrament, grant that we, with Gordon, may joyfully serve you all our days and finally rejoice in your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you now and forever.
Serve the Lord.